Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys,
hey, it's your girl
Scott. So a lot of times, you know, people ask me, especially after having written, you know, Staying Your Lane and everything, A Diary of a Hot Mess, they always ask me, like, well, how do you deal, you know, with your demons, and how do you, you know, how do you combat them? People can sit there and act like, you know, oh, no, I don't know people that live like that. Shit, yes, you do. You just probably don't talk to them. And that's okay. But I would like to acknowledge my hood roots whenever I can, because sometimes we can end up back there and not want to be there. I am not a peacock. I'm more of a shark. So I don't need to flaunt my feathers and, you know, fucking walk around and act like, you know, this is fit to happen and I'm fit to do this. I don't like the fit to do's. I'm more of a, I did this shit, I'm a shark, I laid in wait, I'm a night feeder, I waited, I came at y'all at an angle, and I ate your fucking face. I ate your whole life, and that's what I did. Because if I have to tell you, one of my things is, if I have to tell you I'm coming, if I do tell you I'm coming, I'm already here. Girl, Scott. Hey y'all, it's your girl, D. Scott. Hey y'all, it's your girl, D. Scott. Hey y'all, it's your girl, D. Scott.
And it is another Tell the Truth Tuesday, and we are midway into July. It's your girl D. Scott here, bringing up a couple of little bit of issues. So today's July 14th. Yesterday we did Manic Monday, and tonight's show is called One in a Million. Well, first of all, let me tell you where that came from. Obviously from Aaliyah, and I'm driving down the street, and it's on my Instagram. If you go to @miss.d.scott, and you'll see on Instagram, I was like driving down the street, looking a hot mess, trying to find, boom, spanakopita, this Greek pastry with spinach and shit in it. And One in a Million comes on by Aaliyah, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's what's up. And then I was like, wait a minute, that's not Aaliyah. It's some girl named Tweet or whatever her name is. At any rate, so I got to thinking about the fact that, you know, I had to go to therapy on Monday. I go to therapy all the time, though, because, you know, I got problems. But anyway, so I go to therapy, and I was trying to explain to them, you know, that I think I'm, you know, possibly slipping back into a depression. And she says, well, are you sad? And I'm like, you know, that's a big misconception, that you think that because you're depressed, it exhibits as crying every day and being sad and overeating. And some people like me are the opposite. You know, I grew up in a home where, you know, my mother was at the end of two spectrums. One minute she's manic, one minute she's depressed. And so, you know, depression exhibits in many different ways, but we can always tell, especially from seeing it in your own home, when the triggers start and when things start. So at an interesting situation, you know, I drink, but not, you know, mostly social or on my days off. I can't drink before I really get it in and try to go do some work, because, you know, obviously things will fall off the page. And I had some issues where I had some really violent, you know, reactions to tequila, and, you know, it just, it was not a good look. It was not cute. And so then I have to turn the situation inward and say, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, why, you know, did you eat that day? You know better than this. You know what I mean? And I drink tequila. You know, on my birthday, drank tequila all goddamn day long, the DeLeon tequila. You know, we could sit here, we could joke and say it's because I switched to 1800 when I was out of town, or for whatever reason. But for no reason under any circumstances should you be vomiting green shit from your liver and kidneys. You know, you just shouldn't be vomiting neon. And so, you know, it made me, scared me a bit, you know. It made me sit down and think, like, what are you doing? You know, and I'm not a big drinker. I'm not somebody that's, you know, going to work with the, you know, the cantina in the car. You know what I mean? Not at all. But in that particular moment, I felt like I was covering up something. And then I got some information later on that someone that I knew was actually there. And I, you know, and I'm starting to think that maybe perhaps it's a demon of mine, you know, when you're trying to help people, and I could sense that this presence was near me. And it was the first year, many, many years, that I did not pick up the phone and call this presence while I was there, because I was really trying to focus on being with my girlfriends and just hanging out. And this was like our prom, you know, Essence Fest, because, you know, we wait all year for it. This year I've seen, you know, one of my best friends, Kendra, more times than not. You know, we've been to Atlanta, she's come up here, we went to LA, you know, she came to Pittsburgh when my grandmother died. So I've got to see my friends a lot more this year. But I think that one of my triggers is that when I have to go in and put out a masterpiece or put out a book or put out anything, you know, I try to explain to you guys that, you know, the reason that a lot of people like to read my books is because I suck you in. I'm very, you know, visual, you know, with what I'm writing in the book, and that's because I have to relive it. I have to be there. I write nonfiction. I do write fiction. I do write, you know, stories and things like that, and can help people, but for the most part, I do nonfiction. That's my bread and butter. That's my thing. And unfortunately, you know, I have triggers too, and my triggers are things that I don't want to talk about. So for as much as I blurt out everything that has to do with me and my situation, certain things about my family are a little bit off limits. So when you have to, you know, people say, how come, you know, the book isn't out about your mom? Well, the book isn't out about my mom because you're asking me to crack the fucking half, bleed out profusely for weeks and days at a time, because first of all, I have to write the words. Then I have to type them. And then we have to edit. And so to do that is going to literally kill me, you know. And so whereas some people, you know, victims of rape or things like that, even though nothing that traumatic has happened to me, I have been abused, but not in a sexual way, you're asking that person to relive the event. You know, so that's why a lot of people opt to settle out of court with certain things, and everyone thinks it's a gold digger issue, and, you know, oh, this person just wanted money. No, motherfucker, we don't want to relive this shit again, any abuse. So you're asking me to crack in half and do that. So I came up with a brilliant plan, which was I was going to put the book out, and I am. It'll be done soon. The book is Zero Fucks, Coming from a Place of Hurt, because I truly believe that people come from two places in life. You're coming from a place of hurt, or you're coming from a place of help. If you're coming from a place of hurt, there's nothing that I could do that will fix anything that you do, and I have to stay away from you, you know. And my girlfriends are learning that. You know, not everybody, and it doesn't mean that everybody isn't your friend. It just means they're not your good friend. And you have to learn when to differentiate when you're going to give that person any particular type of energy. You know what I mean? So in small doses, it might be okay. So for me, I cut a lot of people off, which is why relationships, girlfriend relationships, boyfriend relationships. So to go back to 2010 and start creating this book, Zero Fucks, Coming from a Place of Hurt, and to see comments while I'm doing the research from my mother, who is deceased, from Lorenzo Bryant, who was, you know, a childhood friend of mine who is deceased, to see comments from former friends of mine who are deceased to me in life. They're not dead, but technically, you know what I mean? And I don't wish that on them. I'm just saying, you know, so it's hurtful, you know, to see where you were 5 years ago, 4 years ago, 3 years ago, 2 years ago. So those are my triggers that make me remember how shitty life was at one point. And we good now, you know, and that's why I think a lot of people are like, you're so calm, you're so nice, you're so, I'm like, no, not really. I've already been through the worst of it, you know, and I think it took me to get to age 40 to say, I'm not going to talk to men that do X, Y, and Z. Or I'm not going to entertain broads that do X, Y, and Z. And so I come from a place of peace now where no matter what the situation is, when chaos starts to ensue, I cut everything off. And so unfortunately I did that this week to somebody that was, you know, that's close to me. And I had to apologize. And I didn't, and he's like, oh, you don't got to apologize. I'm like, no, I do, because towards the end I stabbed him a little bit, got a little bit petty, and that was the old Denise coming out. The old Denise is very petty. You know, and that's why I don't like to argue with people. I don't like to get into debates, because if you get into a debate with me and it's on a topic that I'm passionate about, you best believe that I have thousands of hours of researching it. Like Kate Bookie said, you know, Denise just be walking around knowing shit for no reason, just because it's just fascinating to me. I study shit. This is what I do. I study human behavior. So when certain things don't make sense, they don't make sense, you know. So, and I try to stay away from it. I don't believe in forgiveness at all times. I don't believe that people are sorry. I believe that everyone in this stage in life is fucking hedonistic. Everybody's going to do whatever the fuck it is they want to do, and they're not going to take into consideration your feelings. So why should I be any fucking different? I shouldn't be any different because no one gave a fuck about me when I was married. You think these bitches gave a shit about me or my husband when I was married? Good. I don't care about you either. You know, you think a woman gave a shit about me when she was calling my phone? You know what I'm saying? You think that, you know, this little girl over here in Detroit or anywhere else gave a shit about me when she knew you? You know, no one cares. You know, so three words, life goes on, right? And so I can sit and have a pity party, or I could just push everybody the fuck away, deal with my shit, because I feel like even with my best friend, I don't ever want to just always. I remember, you know, 5 and 7 years ago when I would dump on Kendra, I would be like, oh my God, this happened to me. I was in a very bad place where I was having like anxiety attacks in the middle of fucking Walmart. And I mean, my anxiety attacks were not like the, oh my God, something's going to happen. No, they were, oh my God, I'm having a heart attack. I can't fucking breathe. Hold my baby. Oh my God. You know, it was that bad. And so, of course, I had to get a prescription for that. Never was one that was into Xanax. People would tell you I used to fucking give them away. Here you go. You know, but I only needed it when I was going to pass out. And I think that anxiety pretty much comes from, you know, well, for me it's two things. I used to get anxiety attacks, A, when there was a trigger. So whether it was the name of something, a song, just any situation where I felt unsafe. You know, because someone tried to kill me before. You know, we talk about that in the book, Stay in Your Lane, Diary of a Hot Mess, available on Amazon and Kindle, one of 6 books. And also you can go on my website, www.stayinyourlane123.com, and order it directly from me. I autograph all books that come directly from me personally. No stamps. I literally sign them myself. And so, like, I remember one time I was watching Oprah. And so my panic attack started, like, way back, you know, in the 90s, and I was, like, 20-something. I was watching Oprah, and I remember this girl being on the show, and she was saying that she had been robbed and all this other stuff, and they showed a picture of her with, like, blood all over her face. Very much Rihanna, bitch better have my money video, but this was real life. And I remember she was on the Oprah show, and I remember getting a panic attack and saying to myself, her boyfriend did that, her boyfriend did that, her boyfriend did that. This was probably 2 weeks before the attempted murder against me, you know what I mean, where my ex-fiance tried to kill me. So it's almost like the universe warning you. Anxiety is just really the universe either trying to protect you from something, saying don't go in there, because everybody has a hunch. Everybody has, you know, I was watching Power, love that show, one of the very few episodes last night where they didn't have a sex scene, so I was kind of disappointed about that shit. However, there's a point in there where Angela finds out that Ghost is, you know, really Jamie, and you see her, and it's one of those putrid cries that I talk about. And the funny thing about human behavior is normal human behavior would have said, question the white chick. Ask her, why do you say that, whatever, whatever. She didn't question it at all. So it's like, and then she starts having the flashes of them having sex and making love and all this stuff. And it's like, on some level, Mama, you knew. You know, so that's what my triggers are, is when something starts to feel very familiar to me, I get the fuck out. Like, I have to go, like, I go into, like, Mortal Kombat mode. And this week I ended up, you know, going into my little hole. I am a moon child, so I do carry my little shell on my back. So I went into my little shell, and I had to cut a motherfucker off just for, like, a day because I was just like, it's too much. I don't feel like dumping on him what happened at work or what's going on over here and the fact that I had 2 flat tires in 2 days. And if it wasn't for the fact that nobody knew where I lived, I would swear up and down that it was a conspiracy and someone stabbed my tires, but they didn't. You know, just there was so much, a multitude of things going on, and part of my defense mechanism is just to push everybody away. And also what's new for me is feelings of when I do forgive somebody. And it's funny because we had a nice powwow with Kate Boogie and her people, and, you know, someone was saying that they were concerned about me because, you know, I'm a little crazy or whatever, but they didn't think I was really crazy. I'm like, no, I'm crazy for real. I admit it. I'm not. No one would lie and say that. Like, it's not a warning. It's just me telling you I'm aware that I'm sick sometimes. You know, I still function as a mom, which makes me more dangerous a creature than the motherfucker that's peeing on himself with a pamper on and roller skates at the stoplight. I'm more dangerous than that motherfucker because everybody can see that that person's crazy. If I'm out to dinner or whatever and you didn't listen to my show, you wouldn't know that I have severe, like when I say severe post-traumatic stress disorder, like I mean severe, like move them hands too quick, you're going to get these hands. Do you know what I mean? Like it's too much. So if I even feel like a situation is bad, you know, my fight or flight kicks in. And it used to be that I fight. And now it's, I just try to walk away and get the fuck out of there before the building blows up. And so it was funny because, you know, my girlfriend was saying, you know, Denise is actually very forgiving. And I thought to myself, it's not that I'm forgiving. It's just you come to a place where you don't give a fuck anymore. So you're just kind of like, you know, when it comes to family, it's like those are my brothers. Like, what, you know, they're always going to be my brothers. I don't give a shit what they do. You know, you blow up a building, that's still my brother. You know what I mean? I don't care what you say to me. I don't care what you do, whatever. These are like my sons, you know, when I came up. So, you know, because my mom, she had, you know, she had issues, you know. So when she was a good mom, she was a great mom. But when she couldn't get it together, you know, we relied on the rest of the family, myself included. And so I think that when I say that everyone is one in a million, you know, you can't look at my level of depression. Like I deal with somebody right now that I'm very kind to. And the reason I'm kind to him is because, you know, he expressed to me, and it's a lot to get a man, a black man, to say, I have issues with depression or I have issues with sadness. You know, most black men will tell you about their issues with violence or guns or whatever. But because he was grown man enough to come to me and say, this is, you know, my issue, I'm very kind to him. Not a pushover, but kind. So he doesn't get the fuck you, bitch, I hope you die. He doesn't get that, Denise. He doesn't get the, you know, why don't you fuck off with a gasoline suit on and burn in hell. He doesn't get that, Denise, because I don't know. I have to be cognizant that if I'm in the universe telling people that there's something wrong with me, that I'm assuming that I'm attracting that type of person. Not always, but, you know, I'm a big energy. So no matter what, whether it's good or bad, people are going to come and talk to you because I'm just a lot of energy, period. And I have this blonde, curly hair. I'm going to straighten it this week. I'll blow it out straight. So I'm very cognizant of the fact that, you know, he's in therapy too, you know, and this is my friend. So I don't want to ever say anything to him and that be the last thing I said to him. Or he, you know, goes off the deep end because of some game that I'm playing or something like that. So, you know, this situation that we have in our friendship is very different because normally, you know, I wouldn't give a fuck. I would just be like, so what? Fucking get over it. Go cry yourself a river and get over it. But I am cognizant that sometimes he needs his space and sometimes, you know, he might push me the fuck away. But what's interesting about our situation is that, you know, you have two people that are sick and then we care about each other, whatever, we're friends. And then we have all these emotions that are running high that we're not used to dealing with. And the main thing is understanding and having someone not look at you and think that you're crazy or look at you and think that you're a freak or look at you and think that, you know, you're just an idiot or what the fuck is wrong with you? You know what I mean? Because a lot of times when I try to tell guys, like, no, I'm crazy for real, like, I'll slap your dog right in the face. Guys are like, what the fuck are you talking about? And then they laugh it off. I'm like, but you've been fair warm, motherfucker. I done tried to tell you I'm not the one. You know what I mean? I tell guys up front, hey, just know I'll be stalking you. Yeah, I'll be watching. We all do it. Ladies, tell the truth. You know, y'all just ain't going to say that because, and then guys be like, oh, you're insecure, motherfucker. I'm not insecure. I'm secure than a motherfucker. You're the one that's insecure. You're the one over here breaching all types of securities to make me feel some type of way. And since you don't belong to me, there's nothing I could do. However, just know I saw that, motherfucker. Just know I seen it. You know, so, and I don't say too much about stuff like that just because I deal with the type of men that are socially retarded. I don't deal with men that, not any of them would actually, I think, minus my ex-husband with the machismo, they're not that kind of guy. They'll bait you and do whatever on the internet, and y'all can have this wonderful internet catfish relationship. But when it comes to them meeting you in person or in a bar or out to dinner, first of all, they're not spending money on nobody. They're not going to do it. And then second of all, the end result is going to end up being sex, and then they don't respect you. So there's a whole gamut that goes on when you're dealing with socially retarded people, you know, my former paramour as well. Attractive guy, very nice looking. I mean, resume impeccable. I mean, fucking amazing. And there's no way on God's green earth he would walk up to a normal, grown, sane woman in any public outing, introduce himself and have a conversation. He wouldn't do it. Mm-mm. He wouldn't be able to do it. My friend now, he's like 6'5", 6'4", big, 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 nice-looking guy. I don't think that he would be up for just meeting somebody in the taco stand and being like, hey, what's up, how you doing, like, what you looking at, and just, like, joking. He's not, his mind is on 10,000 other things a day. But, hey, if you meet him and you see him, kudos to that. Just know I'll fuck you up. If they're one of mine, if they're, you know, if they're one of mine. So I was just joking today saying that if my friend had a boot camp that I was going to show up in a biker suit with some Reebok pumps on and beat everybody's ass and shit. Because, I mean, I would show up to a boot camp that was, you know, ran by, like, a nice-looking dude, you know, that was single. I would show up. So when I say the show is called One in a Million, again, it's because everybody exhibits differently. Like, you know, I had to tell my therapist on Monday, I said, listen, I've been catatonic. I haven't been able to do anything. I haven't been able to, you know, I've been sleeping. You know, so for me, sleep starts. But sometimes depression shows in me where I don't sleep. And I'm up, and I'm almost manic, you know. And it was funny because I was telling my new psychiatrist, who is Russian, by the way, European, and I said, yeah, you know, I said, sometimes I feel like I'm manic. And he's like, tell me an example of when you were manic. And then I was telling him something stupid, and he goes, no, honey. He goes, manic is like you were running down the street naked in the moonlight. And I'm like, I mean, I did, but just not this year. I mean, I haven't, you know, been on the beach since Cali, you know, a minute ago. And he's like, no, honey, you're not manic. So, I mean, it's nice to be able to open up the dialogue with people and talk to them about mental illness, and writing definitely helps. It's just for me having to, and it's not even a wound. I mean, you're literally asking me to sever all pieces of my body, put them in a trash bag, and then try to put the pieces back together to give y'all a book. And that's what it feels like. However, once I start writing, I don't stop. You know, this next project is going to be a little bit of a game changer because it's the way it's set up is a little bit differently, just like how we set my son's book up with the journal style, and we did Back from Broken that way, and we also did the Pookie Chronicles that way. You know, this book will be a little bit different. I think it might be the first of its kind, so I'll be clearly glad to accept all the glory for that. But it's just going to be a reminder of we have to be mindful of what we say. We have to be mindful of what we put on the internet. We have to be mindful of the pictures that we put, because the internet is forever. People think, you know, I feel bad for the girls that, and let me tell you, I'm just going to put this out there. If social media was out when I was 16, 17, 18 years old, oh my God, y'all would have a fucking field day with me. I was naked all the time. I was on every beach in America. I was on every beach out the country, fucking with no shirt on, a thong, you know, jumping off somebody's boat. I really lived my life. And it wasn't that I was fucking with a bunch of dudes. That was never the case. It was always, you know, I had long-term relationships, 7 years, 5 years, 4 years, you know, 2 years. It was just I really partied. I had a really good time. And then I had no couth. So the things that I don't post now, trust me, life is much, 99% of what you see on social media is only 1% of my life. I live a very full and vivacious life. I just pick and choose what I put on the internet because, you know, there are people that do want to harm you, or there are people that look at your life and think that, you know, or try to come for you verbally, and that's not going to fucking work with me. You know what I mean? Because I don't put shit out there like to brag. I put it out there to say, look, you might be going through this. I'm going through it too. You know what I mean? Or look, you eat noodles. I eat them too. You know, look, I'm drinking a motherfucking shout out to Toya from Married to Medicine. We've been tweeting back and forth about, you know, the mommy juice, quote unquote, in the mason jar. And, you know, she was saying that she had to, on the show, she was saying she had to put her mommy juice, her wine, in mason jars so that the kids think it's really juice. And I'm like, oh, honey, we've been doing that for years. Throw some fruit in it and call it organic. So if you're not following me on Twitter, make sure you go follow me at DMSST93. If you are not, follow me on Instagram, which is at miss.d.scott, or you can always look me up with my hashtag, 0FUX. And obviously, we are going to leave the show with the real Aaliyah, One in a Million throwback.
Come and take your Love it, baby. Love it, baby. Love it, baby. Love it.